The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with your host, Jackie Pilosoff.
No one should have to go through a divorce feeling alone and isolated. The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast is a production of Divorced Girl Smiling, where every show is 30 minutes, aimed to empower you, help you feel validated and understood, and connect you with some of the best divorce professionals in the industry. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and start smiling as you join us right now for the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found and always at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Before we get started, I want to talk about two Divorced Girl Smiling trusted professionals who I think are amazing. The first one is divorce attorney Jason Tuckman, who is with Murata and Tuckman in New Jersey. And Jason was 5 years old when his parents divorced, and he remembers it being a traumatic experience. And this experience was what allowed him to become a better father and husband and become a divorce attorney. He wanted to make a difference. And 20 years later, he's been practicing divorce law and he's making a difference. Jason is experienced, he's compassionate, he's dedicated to the profession and just a great guy. If you want to reach out to Jason, you can find him on his website, which is kkmtlegal.com. I also want to talk about a wonderful wills and estate planning attorney named Emily Roswadowski. Now, when you're going through a divorce, it's hard to plan ahead and you're probably just trying to get through the divorce. But once your divorce is finalized, over the next 6 months, you're going to need to redo your will and trust. And I promise you, it's so not a big deal. It doesn't take a long time. It's a fixed cost, so you don't have to worry that you're being billed by talking to your attorney. And if you need this and you live in Illinois, I would highly recommend Emily. Emily has been doing this for several years. She's really dedicated, loves what she does, and helps so many men and women who have gone through a divorce redo their wills and trusts. If you want to reach Emily, you can sign up for a complimentary consultation by going to emilyroslaw.com. One of the most stressful parts of a divorce is what's going to happen in my living situation. Can I stay in my house? That's a question I hear from countless people going through a divorce. How am I going to find a new home? I've never owned a home by myself. Should I rent? What if I can't pay my mortgage? It's so stressful. And so that is what I want to address. I want to dedicate this entire podcast to home ownership after divorce. And I have a great guest to talk with me about this. Her name is Karen Ranquist. Karen is a broker associate at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services in Chicago. Karen has been in the real estate and development industry for 24 years, and she also has personal experience overcoming a divorce. So, hi, Karen.
Hi, Jackie. So nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm really excited to have you here. You bring so much experience, both professionally and personally, and I think this is going to be a great conversation that will help so many listeners.
Oh, I hope so. I agree with everything that you said, and I would say, professionally speaking, sure, I can get it, but also knowing, as you mentioned, that I had been a realtor for many, many years, and then going through the process myself and having all of those questions about everything you said are, you know, it's very personal and it's just very destabilizing and an incredibly, you know, stressful period of time to throw in one of the biggest stressors of all, moving and not having an idea of where your home's going to be can be overwhelming.
And, you know, you're right. It's the part about moving, packing up all your stuff and moving, that is really stressful. But also, everybody's home is like their safe place. So to be going through this divorce and feeling all of these emotions about the breakup of your marriage and then worrying about your kids and then thinking, well, now I have to uproot or I might have to uproot myself from my home, which feels stable and safe, that's traumatic almost.
Yeah, completely.
So I want to tell my listeners that Karen recently wrote this article for Divorce Girl Smiling called Home Ownership After Divorce, an Introductory Guide. And I love this because it's a great starting place for somebody who is either thinking about getting divorced on what to expect or somebody who's in the thick of it. So I'm going to jump right in. And Karen, first you wrote that you have to acknowledge your emotions. So what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, all of that. I would say first thing is really to acknowledge your emotions. I would say for me, and I think for somebody going through this process, you have to understand this is really difficult. I mean, there is nothing, I can't think of what would be more concerning, upsetting, stressful, destabilizing than not knowing where you're going to live. So acknowledging that that it's stressful, that this is, it's a difficult time. And then understanding that the process is, it's okay, you know, being okay with it with that, and then being able to kind of take the necessary steps in discovering what the best route for you is and knowing that you have options.
And don't you kind of feel like, Karen, as women, I'm not trying to say that all women and no men do this, but we tend to just say, okay, I need to be tough and I'm not going to let this get to me. And I want to tell my listeners that it's okay to cry in your bed and say, I am so scared. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sad. And to let yourself feel those emotions before you really get it together. Because as women, don't you think we just cover it up and say, okay, I need to be strong?
100%. And if you factor in kids and a pet and all these other things, your family, your neighbors, your community that you've built, and the thought of thinking that all of that is going to change, I mean, you can be scared and sad at the same time. What am I going to do with everything? Like, what about my furniture? Like, a million different thoughts are going to come into your head. And of course, it's going to be scary and sad at the same time. But you know, it can also be very exciting. And that's one of the things I don't want to lose sight on as we move through the steps and the questions that one may want to start considering when they're deciding what their next step is going to be in terms of where they're going to live.
Right. And don't feel guilty if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I'm not scared or sad. I'm really psyched. I'm getting out of this bad marriage. That's normal. And that's really healthy too. And also, it's okay to feel all these things, and it's okay to feel them at different times. You could think, oh, I really want this divorce. And then a month into it, say, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm having second thoughts. I'm scared. I don't know if I can do this myself. And that's okay too.
Totally. You just have to, you know, as we said, as recognize that it is and can be an emotional process and take that with you as you can move on to the next steps. And that's where I think, you know, we want to really focus on how we can add value to you as the divorcing person going through this situation. And what do you need to do to figure out where you are going to go if in fact you do have to leave the family home?
Okay, that's a good segue to step number two, which you say is overcoming your financial fears. So tell me about that.
So a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of us may not really, you know, everything could be very meshed and intertwined, or, you know, some people could be completely separate, but each person's process is going to be uniquely specific to their situation. I can't speak to your situation, but communally speaking, I mean, there's some things that are I think all encompassing. You need to know what your finances are. You need to know, you know, are you a situation where your money is encumbered and enmeshed and it needs to be separated? Or, you know, perhaps some people have always had separate money, but I think knowing what you have, knowing what you have to take away with you is going to start the process in where you go. Obviously talking to your like a financial planner or your banker and your attorney and figuring out, you know, do you have to sell the family house to buy something, which is probably going to be the most common situation. And then embarking on that process of, oh my gosh, how do I get a fair assessment of what my house is worth? What do I do? You know, how do you and your ex or soon to be ex determine determine that milestone, because in many cases, that's going to be the most common situation, is that you sell the family home and then you have a, usually it's probably a 50-50 split, perhaps. I don't know. You know, you rent for a little while and you have a specific savings set up to buy your next home. I mean, that's actually what I did for different reasons, but it's really going to those professionals and figuring out that process.
Okay, so let's talk about the professionals. So number one, people think I need to ask my lawyer. I could not disagree more. Now, Karen, you might have a different philosophy. You and I both went through divorces. I would call my lawyer for everything. I'm not bad-mouthing attorneys. There's nothing wrong with your divorce attorney, but this is not their specialty. If you 100%. Want to find out about your finances, in my opinion, the first call to make is to a mortgage lender and say to the mortgage lender, I want to find out how much I can afford for a mortgage so that now you know what price range to look in. Now, you might also want to meet with your financial advisor, like Karen said. You might want to ask a real estate agent to come, like Karen, come assess your house, tell you what it's worth. And that's all giving you information. So that's what you need, is information. But that mortgage lender is key in you finding out so much information about what you can afford. Do you agree?
100%. I mean, in any transaction I work with a buyer, my first step, usually before even meeting them in person, is to have them meet with a lender and not only know what they can afford, but be pre-approved for it. So we have a pre-approval letter before we walk into our first house. What if that first house is the one? And then you could risk losing it by not having your financial opportunity to move forward with a contract in order. That would go for any situation. Talk to the lender first. And I also share your opinion on the lawyer. You want to know legally a couple things. I certainly know lawyer, but in terms of being able to purchase while you're going through the process, those are some things you want to ask your lawyer. But everything else, you want to talk to your lender and probably your financial advisor or banker.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. Today, we are talking home ownership after divorce, and I'm here today with my guest, Karen Ranquist, a broker associate at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services in Chicago. And Karen and I are talking about everything when it comes to your home. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to get into practical considerations for home ownership after divorce. We'll be right back. We've all heard the saying, April showers bring May flowers, and the same can be said about co-parenting. If navigating the beginning of the year has been difficult due to an ex's alcohol abuse, I have the perfect solution. You know what it is? SoberLink. SoberLink is more than just a portable alcohol monitoring tool. It's a pathway to new beginnings and stronger, healthier family dynamics. It works pretty simple. Your co-parent will test at scheduled times. They offer built-in facial recognition to confirm the identity. The tamper sensors flag any attempts to cheat, and results get sent instantly to your phone, giving you peace of mind that your kids are with a sober parent. So my suggestion is lay the groundwork for brighter days ahead by visiting soberlink.com/DGS to learn more. If you go to soberlink.com/DGS for Divorce Girl Smiling, you get $50 off your device. I also want to take a minute and recommend a great mediation firm. The name of the firm is CEL & Associates. And Brian James is the founder. He's also a parenting coordinator. And Brian and his partner, Ellen Feldman, who is also a mediator, mediate the sessions together. So what's nice is you get a man and a woman together, so it doesn't really feel one-sided. I've known Ellen and Brian for 10 years. They're wonderful, wonderful people, so dedicated to the profession, and I really trust them. If you want to learn more, you can find them at CELandAssociates.com. Welcome back to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. And one question that so many divorced people ask me, I can't even count, is, am I going to be able to stay in my home? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking everything about homeownership, selling your home, buying a new home, possibly renting, how you're feeling emotionally. And my guest is Karen Rehnquist. Karen is a broker associate at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services in Chicago. Karen, I love this part of your article that you wrote for Divorce Girl Smiling, and you wrote, this new home will symbolize your newfound independence, because we've been talking this whole podcast about how stressful it is and how you need to know your finances, and that's all stressful, but let's talk about the good part. You know, you and I both went through a divorce and bought homes ourselves. Well, I stayed in my home and refinanced. You sold your home and bought a new one, if I'm not mistaken. Was that what happened?
Actually, he stayed in the home and I bought my own home.
Okay, so tell me, when you bought your home, what were you feeling? Tell me the good news about this.
Oh my gosh, it was probably the best thing that happened in the entire time of going through the divorce. When you're going through the divorce, you can say, like, I don't know, even if you're dating, it's a different situation until you're divorced. But until you're divorced, you don't really understand that. As soon as you're divorced, you're like, ah, I do get that. So that was even a smaller portion of that feeling of independence and separation and truly starting over didn't really start for me until I owned my house. When I owned that house, it was so gratifying, and I was really so happy and proud of myself that I'd never bought a house by myself. I had rented, or, you know, I had a place in Sandburg that my dad owned, and then it was with my ex, and we, you know, before we were married, and a number of houses throughout our marriage. So until I actually closed on the home that I'm in, I had never done it before, and it was scary, but my God, it was the greatest feeling, having the keys to my own house and being in charge of who can come in and who can come out.
And you know what is so interesting? So I stayed in my home and refinanced it. And when I was done with the divorce and I owned the home outright myself, not outright, I had a mortgage, but I owned it by myself and my ex didn't have any part of it anymore. There was like a sense of peace, like, right, this is a peaceful home. And I was even in the same home, which you would think you would have all these bad memories of fights and your marriage falling apart. But no, that's not how I felt at all, because I was really comfortable in that home. And it was just kind of nice. It was like, I can redecorate this any way I want. I can make it all feminine. I can do
whatever. That's a great option. I mean, let's be honest, that's the easiest option in some senses, because you don't have to move. I mean, moving is one of the least enjoyable experiences we can go through, right? Nobody likes to move. I've never had someone say, wow, that move was great. You know, there's always risk and money involved and set. So you're right. I mean, either option is great. You know, if it works for you that you can stay in your home, or if you, I don't know, it would seem in my experience probably a little more common that you sell the house and you're both going somewhere else. But for you to be able to stay in there, certainly if that works for you, I think what you say and it being peaceful is really the key. And that feeling of satisfaction of being able to start over in your own space.
And feeling safe. You know, I'm not saying everybody listening here has like an abusive spouse or whatever, but you feel safe in the sense like there's no more drama, there's no more fighting, there's no more walking on eggshells. It's safe. Like, you can just go home and be happy to be home. How many people are listening to this who are thinking, I hate going home because he's there? And now you don't have to worry about it. Even if you were the one who was left, like, now it's yours. And that is the most amazing feeling.
Right. Like a safe haven.
Right. Totally. So let's get into the practical considerations of advice for people who are dealing with not knowing what they're going to do about their home. So the first one you wrote is review your credit and know your assets.
Definitely. Well, I think that also that has to be coupled with talking to the lender as well, too. So you want to have a realistic idea of what makes sense for you. If you're approved for a $3,000 a month mortgage, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that's the right number for you. You want to start to understand what your other expenses are, too. So you really need to have a good idea of what you can afford and what you're comfortable paying based on everything else that, you know, if you travel all the time, if you use your home as your homebody and you want to be at the house all of the time, there are a million different questions you want to ask yourself in terms of certainly understanding what you can comfortably afford on a monthly basis.
This sounds like a perfect conversation to have with your financial advisor because they know you, they know your lifestyle, or a new financial advisor. And I do realize there's going to be a lot of ifs. Well, if I get this, well, here's what might happen. But at least if you have different scenarios, you have a place to start. It's not like you're just guessing on everything. You can say what you think might happen in the divorce, and then you can go from there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next thing, we already went over this, talk to a mortgage lender. So that is a given. It should be probably your first, if not one of your first calls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next thing, set a realistic timetable. What does that mean?
Because everybody's situation is so different and there is a lot of complexity involved in your divorce, a realistic timetable, I think, to me meant I knew I wanted to have to be gone, to be in my own house. I knew I wanted to leave. So then, you know, you got to work from there. What are the steps to own a home, to get out, to get divorced? Do I need to get divorced first? So do I, it's starting to take inventory of all of these different things we discussed, talking to a mortgage broker, talking to your attorney, talking to a financial planner or a banker, getting all of these things together and looking at a timetable. You want to know, okay, it's March 6th today. When do I want to be in a house? What steps do I need to do? What outline do I need to make to get from where I am to where I want to be? So you can have a process to get you closer to your end goal instead of just thinking, God, I'm in this bad situation, and all the things you said about not wanting to go home and walking on eggshells, and how do I get rid of that feeling? How, you know, if you stay in your home, how does that, you know, set a calendar, truly sit down on the calendar and map out what you need to do, the steps you need to take to get to that end goal.
I think when you said set a realistic timetable, that means you can't just buy a home on a whim because you want to get out really quick. And you can't buy it without knowing all this other information. I mean, you can, but you might realize it was a mistake if you don't do your homework. So when Karen wrote set a realistic timetable, I think she meant you kind of have to know at least a ballpark of what your child support's going to be, what your alimony is going to be. Like, you have to be pretty into the divorce. You can't really do it right at the beginning because you hate going home. It's really sad, but I guess the lesson is you have to be a little bit patient and let time go by and let your divorce get remotely close to being settled.
Most likely. I mean, I know in our last meeting, there are lenders that can go through the process without being divorced. And a lot of times you're really going to need to have that divorce settled and the homestead settled before you can purchase. So I don't know. That's kind of just a little offshoot. So I don't know if we want to just plug him in at the end. But
give Phil a plug. Phil Agilia, yeah. Great mortgage lender. And I also want to give a plug to Vester Capital, a financial planning firm also. So those are two great resources, and you can find them both on divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thank you, Karen. Okay.
Definitely. So back to where we were.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what we're both saying is that you can do all your homework and everything, but you can't really pull the plug. And for those listening that are saying, well, I found this perfect home and I don't want to lose it, sometimes you have to say, you know what? I might lose it. Wasn't meant to be. It's okay. There'll be another home on the market and I'll be really happy that I waited.
Always. I mean, even in non-divorce situations, if I have a client that one reason or another, timing, multiple offers, who knows, it just didn't work out for them. It just wasn't the house it's meant to be. I find in my experience, knock on wood, every buyer I've had has always ended up in the right place.
Definitely. Last practical consideration you wrote is ensure you are off the mortgage and the deed. Be sure the title of the marital home is settled.
Well, those are all things that you'd be working through, you know, in the process with your lender to make sure you're able to literally divorce yourself from your old living situation and be able to embark on a new one. There are a number of, you know, legal and financial implications that you need to finalize and be clear on so you can take clear title to your new home.
Right, because when you get divorced and your divorce is finalized, this is what I find, and this is what happened to me. You're so excited, so happy, so relieved the divorce is over that you forget that there's this checklist of things you have to do. And somebody might forget that they have to take you off the deed. There's things that you legally need to do. And when you leave the courthouse, when your divorce is final, you'll have this list. And trust me, nobody ever followed up. There were so many things that we never did. And it was just because I didn't know at the time that there was more work to do after the divorce was final.
Right.
So, Karen, I can't believe we're out of time. Thank you so much for all this wonderful information. I want to read my listeners the last part of your article, which is embarking on home ownership post-divorce is a significant step toward reclaiming your independence and building a promising future. And Karen, tell my listeners where they can find you if they want to work with you.
Oh, thanks, Jackie. I'm at find me whatever's easiest for you, Karen Rehnquist Group on Instagram or Facebook, my LinkedIn, or I'm at Berkshire Hathaway Chicago, Karen Rehnquist, BHHS Chicago, or my cell phone, 773-447-6360. And I would look forward to talking more in depth about any of these things. I know we really just touched on the surface, and there's so many things involved in the process. And I would really just encourage you to have a comprehensive team that can support you in this process.
Thank you again, Karen, for being here.
Thanks so much, Jackie. Nice to talk with you.
You too. And to my listeners, you can also find Karen in the Trusted Professional section of Divorce Girl Smiling, along with several other wonderful, trusted, vetted divorce professionals. And if you want to listen to more podcasts, read articles, download my mobile app, or sign up for my free consult, you can visit me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.